It's as if I went to sleep for a year. And when I woke up, the world's fallen apart.
Welcome to the Squirt Beg Show for June 23rd, 2014. I'm Mike.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Jill.
I'm Jacob.
It's our final Game of Thrones episode of the year because it's the final one of the season. We are covering basically episodes 6 through 10 of season 4, although Jesse and I did talk briefly about episodes 6 and 7 of the year. Jill and Jacob haven't commented on those yet, but you know, we're going to look at those final 5 and particularly the final 3 of the season. And as usual, what we will do is we will discuss the television show, but we will also discuss what happened in the books up to the point of the finale of the show. Right. So if something was not covered within the books during that, particularly Jill, who has read all the books, you know, it's interesting to me to see what
she's our go-to for book knowledge. Absolutely.
Yeah, particularly there's one character that was not featured at the very end. I don't know if you guys have read about this or not.
This is a major spoiler if it's what I think y'all are talking about.
Well, yeah, let's go ahead and briefly go into that. Just in terms of there is one particular character that was supposed to show up at the end of the third book, which would be the fourth season. All right, before we even begin, Jill, though, do Jacob and Jesse even want to hear about this?
I don't know. You have to ask them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on if it's just this character showing up or not is going to ruin something further along.
I have a feeling that the show won't feature this character at all. What do you think, Jill?
I think it's going to have to happen, but I read an article that said it's not the right time yet because this character only appears, I think, very, very briefly in the fifth book. So it might they might not bring this character in until later on when the character is going to be doing more things.
Well, when I read about this character, it sounded like a very stupid idea. I can't believe. I mean, what do you think, Jill? When you're reading the books, like this particular character, doesn't it seem like kind of a dumb idea to do this particular character?
I think it's pretty cool, actually.
Oh, okay. What do you guys say? Should we talk about it or not?
No.
Yeah, if there's any possibility that this is going to show up later in the show and
no.
Yeah, then no.
All right.
I would say we skip
it. No.
Well, then that means that everybody that's listening so far knows either exactly what we're talking about or has no idea what we're talking about. So let's move on to what's actually in the show. Where do you guys want to start?
Well, shit. I mean, let's go ahead and start with the end and work our way back.
Yeah. Let's begin with the major characters that died. Usually in episode 9 or 10. And then work our way backwards. Now, personally, I was in a state of denial. I did not actually think. I thought he just had a case of arrows. I didn't think that Tywin Lannister actually died. He'll get better, you know. It was a major shock to the system for me. In hindsight, though, once I had a little bit of time to process it, it seemed like a very natural kind of, you know, a organic way to further the Tyrion storyline.
Yeah.
But it is a major loss, I think, for the show, for the story, to have Tywin Lannister no longer in the story. Yeah.
And how awesome is it that he died on the shitter, like Elvis, on a throne.
Yes. On a throne.
Yes, just like he always was meant to.
Amazing.
They do a lot in the books of, you know, make, and they might do this next season, of making jokes about, because the joke was that the Lannisters shit gold. Yes. It was like, did he shit a brick of gold as he died?
I watched the entire episode and I had not even the slightest inkling that he actually died. I was in denial.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, he'll be okay. He'll be okay.
I'll get better.
Jacob, what did you think about the whole scene?
I thought it was fantastic. I think that it's going to cause absolute chaos because he's no longer at the reins anymore and Cersei's nuts, so it's going to be awesome.
See, I actually would have thought that you wouldn't have liked that at all because I thought you had someone else pegged for killing Tywin.
Yeah, I did. I thought Jaime was going to kill him. I thought that he was going to help Tyrion escape, and I thought that he was going to protect Tyrion by killing his father, but it all turned out pretty wild in the end. I was like, yeah, there you go. Take that.
Tyrion had two people helping him escape, basically. I mean, Jaime and Varys. But on the way up there, I mean, I feel like these are all like, you know, spur of the moment decisions that he made. He sees Shay in Tywin's bed.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like the show could have done a better job of showing Shay's thinking because, you know, one of my favorite all-time scenes of the television show was Shay Bronn and Tyrion talking in season one together in that tent or whatever, and they told stories about their backstories, and it humanized all three of them for me. So that was one of my favorite scenes of the entire series, was that these three people could relate in the middle of wartime. Shay, Bronn, and Tyrion. I feel like in season four, we only saw Shay twice, during the trial and during that scene where Tyrion kills her. I feel like it could have been a little bit better if we got to see Shay's thinking, because to me, she's not doing it to be cruel to Tyrion. It's because she's trying to survive. That's my take on it, at least.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I think she's been working for Tywin the whole time. I think she was spying on him. And in the scene where he kills her, it's not, she says my lion, like it's supposed to be Tywin, like she's been calling him.
Right.
And
right.
Then she pulls the knife on him. Like it's not a question of,
was self-defense for her at that point.
Yeah, well, but I would think that she would try to talk to him a little bit before she goes all grabbing a knife and stabby, you know what I mean?
I think at that point she realized it was too late, you know? Because think about season three for Shay. Season three for Shay was that Tyrion kept trying to send Shay out of the kingdom and out of, you know, because he knew it was too late for Shay. But Shay, like, was being kind of unreasonable and being like, no, you're supposed to be with me. I'm going to stay here until I can get with you. So
I think she's working for
him. She could have been protecting her own job. I mean, if she was being paid by Tywin the whole time, she could just be protecting
her own
job.
I'm saying if she didn't, though, she might have died. To me, it might have been a matter of survival for her to betray Tyrion that way. So I don't know.
I think I might be with Jacob on this. It feels weird because she was so convincing and so hurt throughout the whole marriage to Sansa. And that's the part I don't really get is that, and I agree with you, Jacob, at the end it really seemed like, haha, I've been, fucking Tywin the whole time. However, the whole emotion that she went through when she wasn't actually interacting with anyone, because she always had that hurt look whenever she saw him and Sansa or something like that, so... I don't know, you think
she did it out of revenge? Because to me, she did it more out of survival. She was with Tywin out of that.
I mean, I think she did it out of the whole thing out of survival. But I'm saying that they showed a lot of her emotion away from any other characters, which led you to believe that she was genuine at the time. So.
When Tyrion kills Shay, he says, "I'm sorry." And to me, that's kind of like, he still feels for her a lot, even though he actually did this heart. He ended her life.
He did absolutely. Yeah. Jill, what do you think, man?
I think it's both. I think she really loved Tyrion, and I think she felt extremely, she was a woman scorned, and I think she was mad enough, and also that probably Tywin found her ship or something before she could leave and said, "You're going to help me." And so I think it was part scorn and part survival. But I think her emotions were genuine. I think she was just as conflicted about turning against him as he was about killing her, but both had to happen.
Yeah.
So Tyrion murdered both of those characters. Any final thoughts about those two characters before we move on to the other dead people in Game of Thrones?
Nah, we got too much to cover.
All right.
I'm going to miss Tywin. He was one of my favorites.
Yeah, he was.
He was such a mover and shaker.
Yeah.
To me, looking forward to season five, there's a huge void. Who's going to fill it? Yeah. I mean, the only person I can think of is Baelish,
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of somebody that can actually fill that void. And Varys seemed to have abandoned. When he looked back at the kingdom and the bell was ringing, Varys went on that ship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So my question is Varys leaving everything he worked so hard for in order to escape the kingdom as well?
I think he's jumping ship for the moment to just come back later, I think.
Okay. Can he be tied to the murder? That was my question. Because when he heard the bells, he was like, "What have you?" No. When he opened the door, he said, "What have you done?" And then he got on the boat, and then he heard the bells and went back and sat down on the boat. And he looks. I don't think he can go back. I think they can tie him to the murder.
Yeah, I think that's why. Because he started walking back toward the city, and then changed his mind when he heard the bells. So he obviously changed his mind and was like, "Shit, they're gonna get me." So, but what I'm saying is that I think he got on the ship to leave to just return later on.
All right. So Oberyn and the Mountain?
Yes.
That was a great fight. But to me, even a better fight than that was Brienne versus the Hound.
Yeah, that was an awesome fight.
I think it was probably one of the best combat scenes I've seen on television
ever. It was definitely fun, for sure. Yeah. But I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. The Hound's not dead.
I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. The Hound is dead.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be too unrealistic to say somebody will just come along and save him. You know, I think he's going to die silently. Arya could have done the humane thing and killed him, but she chose not to.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly why he lived.
Okay. I actually have a question about that. What exactly was going through Arya's mind when she left him?
He was on the list, and she was going to complete that list. And,
but she didn't complete the list. By not killing him, she ignored the list.
In her mind, he's going to die one way or the other.
Or maybe, I mean, just to throw it out there, devil's advocate, maybe she became so attached to him that she wanted to leave the possibility that he would survive.
Again, I think it's complicated. I think she both wants him to survive and doesn't want him to survive. Mm. And she didn't want to be the one to do it. I guess she left it up to chance just to see.
In the novel, Jill, did that play out the same way?
Not exactly the same way. In the novel, the Hound and Brienne never meet. The earlier fight where the guy bites his neck. Mm. What happens is he gets an infection and is lying there dying. And Arya leaves him. You know, it's the same thing where he wants her to put him out of his misery, and she won't, and she just leaves. So the show actually did a better job, I think, and made it more interesting. But it's the same basic idea where he's dying. It's pretty much certain death. He asks for a mercy kill, and Arya says "fuck you" and walks away.
And he says that great line, something along the lines of "I'm killed by a woman." I bet you love that.
That was pretty awesome.
I don't know. The way I see is, I mean, that's how I've always been in television, is if you don't see the dead body, they didn't die. I mean,
especially with George R.R. Martin.
Yes.
And this whole
show. I mean, we're talking about an HBO series that has no trouble with full frontal nudity and chopping the heads off of horses in one fell swoop. And so there's no reason why they wouldn't kill him.
Squeezing people's skulls into
Yes. Holes. Yes.
So. That was amazing. I don't think the mountain's dead. I think he's going to come back too.
I'm leading towards the mountain is alive as well, because they did show that one scene where that Cersei called in the one fella who is able to do the kind of, you know, better medical work on him.
They never came out and said, oh, he's dead now. I mean, it was just a, you know, do some medicine. You know what I mean? Well, so I don't think that was even in question, was it?
Well, I've got a tin hat theory on that one anyway, because the mountain has to kill the hound, or the hound has to kill the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, two other major deaths. Bran's friend, nobody cares. Boom.
Moving along
to Ygritte. I'm a total sucker for Jon Snow and Ygritte.
Yeah, me too.
Totally relationship type thing. Yeah. The fact that she hesitated after the fact of kind of pointing out her vengeance, you know, the whole time somebody else on the Night's Watch killed her.
It was the little kid too, and that was the best thing. He shot her. John looks up and he's like, "Yeah, look what I did."
Well,
I got one.
And can we speak to episode 9? It seemed like they poured a couple extra million dollars into that episode, because to me, it was just this extravagant, amazing battle sequence from start to finish.
Just like Blackwater Bay, like when they did that.
Yeah. But to me, even a greater scale. I mean, the Giants. Yeah. I remember you go to a previous episode of the Square Peg Show, Jesse's like, "And hey, man, we need to see the Giants again."
Giants, man.
Yeah, and the Giants part of that episode was amazing.
Very cool.
In some ways, Sam and John have been waiting for this battle for 4 seasons.
Yeah.
Yep. So to finally see, even though it didn't actually end on a moment of resolution, like we did see the resolution a bit more where John went to go, what's the name of the Wildlings leader? Thank you.
Yeah.
So he started negotiating with him. So it wasn't quite a finish on episode 9, but still, episode 9 to me was a really great episode.
Stannis rolled in with his dick swinging. That was
Stannis
awesome.
And Davis out of nowhere. I love it when two storylines cross over and you're not expecting.
Yes.
It.
I was a little aggravated with that, because they didn't even allude to it, and then bam, there he was. I was like, well, he was down in what was the name of the city where the Iron Bank is?
Bravos.
Is it Bravos? Yeah, I think it's Bravos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that in like the southern part of the continent?
Yeah, it is.
And then bam, there he is at the wall. Moved I was like, time. What?
Well, they had already gotten the note that was like, you know, the army of the dead is moving on. We got to get over there. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah, they did talk about it at least.
They did allude to it, but it was early in the season.
Yeah.
I think Davos opens the letter and reads it and freaks out and takes it to Stannis. And so, yeah, we did get illusions, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, and then bam, there they are. I was like, okay, well, all right then.
Stannis has such respect for Ned Stark that he will automatically listen to Jon Snow. And Jon Snow warns him, you know, burn the bodies. You know, as soon as he can tonight.
Yeah, that is true.
So because, like we've said before, these mystical elements have been urban legends of certain characters, but Jon Snow has seen it firsthand. That, you know, you got to listen to me. I know what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, the other important thing about Stannis listening is that he was like, you know, what would your father was an honorable man. What would he have done with Mance Rayder? And he's like, he'd have held on to him and at least heard what he had to say. And I thought that was kind of cool. Because Stannis is usually like, yeah, fuck, stab him in the face, dude. It's cool.
Right. And it kind of shows to me, like, wartime, Jon Snow had a good point. You know, the enemy showed me compassion. Why don't we show him compassion? Exactly. So that was kind of nice.
Absolutely.
Well, you know that. And Stannis' army is going to be monstrous now if he gets Mance Rayder to work with him.
Well, did he get the money from the Iron Bank? I know they were giving him some gruff, but did he get it in the end?
I don't know.
I think so.
I think he probably did.
I think he did.
I think that's why he went. I think he got that money and was like, I'm going to start solidifying the North.
Well, he's got a damn.
Pretty good for Stannis, too, because, I mean, a power vacuum with Tywin.
Yeah.
So right. I feel like he has a perfect opportunity to try to expand his empire as much as he can. So.
Can we talk about something real quick?
Sure, sure.
How about the I'm hot for you stare over the fire at Jon Snow from the Red Lady? I'm telling you, she knows something about him.
Oh, I know she does. I know for a
fact
she does.
That's going to come up. That's in the books, and that's going to...
That's why Ingrid died. I ain't kidding. That's why Ingrid died.
I really like Melisandre. I'm like totally taken by her.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan at all.
She's all like, I'm nude and you're my queen. Yeah.
She's just, I don't know.
Just, I want to have your demon babies.
Demon babies.
Well, at least they don't hang out for 18 years. I mean, I could deal with that shit. They hang out for a night, kill someone, and vanish. It's cool.
Sweet.
Somebody sure like conspicuously absent. Let's talk about, like, I can think of three characters conspicuously absent from the entirety of season 4. Was the Brotherhood Without Banners. They weren't in the season at all.
Well, they just dipped out in an episode of season 3, and then you just hadn't seen them since. And that's when Arya and the Hound made their
exit. I'm assuming they'll come back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna play a big role coming up. That's my bet on that. I bet we're going to see them.
Rickon and the wildling woman whose name I forget.
Osha.
So, to me, you always got to be like cognizant of where the Stark children are. Right. But we didn't see Rickon at all.
Yeah.
I'm figuring they're probably recast him next year or whatever because he's, you know, got to keep up with puberty. Listen, and all
as
that.
As long as Hodor's there, I don't give a damn. You can show me anyone as long as there's Hodor.
The third storyline is whatever the name of the guy is that Davos sent off into the boat.
Oh, the bullhead helmet guy.
Gendry,
yeah.
Yeah, so he's still probably paddling.
He's paddling his ass off.
He's
getting the hell out of there. He don't care where he's going as long as he's away from that crazy bitch and the leeches. Oh,
Jesus. So to me, you know, they didn't touch on every storyline in this season, but to me, season 4 was the best. If I had to compare all 4 seasons so far.
It's really just getting better and better. And it's honestly kind of rare because usually it's like, the first season was better. And you'll get that for a lot of shows, especially for movies and their sequels. But this is just mounting and mounting and mounting, and Christ, it's getting better. And speaking of mounting, can we go back to the mountain for a second? Because that whole fight was amazing. And so much misdirection, and I just kept waiting him to be like, my name is Oberyn of Dorne, you killed my sister, prepare to die. Like, that would have been so badass. Jacob, you and your wife are right there next to us when we were watching this, and I mean, I remember, like, screams and shrieks happening during this fight. It was amazing. And plus, you know, they had a bet as to who would clean the house if, you know, which one died, but whatever.
What?
Yeah, they had a bet with each other. They each thought one of them was going to win.
Who?
Oberyn and the Mountain.
Oh.
Yeah, Jacob and his wife.
So who was betting on whom?
Jacob was betting on the Mountain, yes. And Ava was betting on Oberyn.
Yeah. And so, you know, they had the big twist at the very end of the fight, of course. So, you know, one is yelling at first, and then promptly the next one becomes the streak.
So how much housework does your wife owe you?
The whole house cleaned.
That was amazing.
The weakness that Oberon had was that he was trying to prove a point to the audience and to to Tywin. He did all these horrible things, but because he was showing that weakness and he let his guard down, that the mountain obviously could come back.
I actually have another question about that too.
Yes.
When the mountain is crushing his face, he says, "Yes, I killed her and I did these horrible things," or whatever. But they haven't said anything about it since. So is that going to become an issue later, maybe? You know? I mean, it might be one of the things. It just seems strange to me that he confessed to all the crimes while he was killing him. I don't know if it was just like an irony thing or whatever, you know? I've killed them and now I've killed you.
It depends, I guess, on who heard the mountain confess that. Like, was he just saying it to Oberyn? Or was he saying that to everybody?
Well, this is my question. Who the hell is going to do anything about it? He's the fucking mountain. I mean, it's like, yeah, I raped and killed everybody.
But he never denied. Everyone knows that he did those things.
Yeah. I don't know.
The mountain is very much like, I've raped lots of women. I've killed lots of people's sisters and brothers and children. Why do you think you're special?
Yeah, it was more of a personal crime than anything. I mean, when they finally showed him in this season, he was like chopping people down the middle kind of thing. So I don't think it was a big deal.
Okay.
All right, let's skip over to Brandon Stark real quick. I mean, nobody wants to talk about him, but
horrible.
But I do want to know how you guys felt like the resolution of that storyline went, because you know, you were seeing the skeleton people chase after them. You're seeing this like older fellow that is also the three-eyed raven, depending on who is dreaming about him.
Right.
And then the older fellow says that, "I'm not trying to get you to walk. I'm trying to get you to fly."
Well, you'll never walk again.
Is this storyline like resonating with you guys at all? Or
I don't mind it so much. I really don't understand what the issue is. I'm just interested to see where it's going to be. But I mean, I guess I don't have any expectations of it, so I'm just kind of accepting as it comes along. What do you guys think?
The story, I think the story is cool. I didn't like the visual effects that they used, because I felt like I was watching like Labyrinth or The Dark Crystal, which would have been cool for the 80s. But Game of Thrones,
those are still cool now, you know.
Well, they're cool. They're still cool. They're cool nostalgically. I expected more from Game of Thrones, and I thought that whole scene played out almost kind of cheesy.
Like the visual effects element.
Yeah, with the girl coming out and the weird, like, the way she threw the fire, and, you know, she's a terrible actress.
my point about those two siblings was, I'm not invested. I mean, it feels like they've hardly gotten any characterization.
Yeah, and Jojen, by the way, does not die in the book, or at least hasn't so far. And I like that the show just went, we don't care about him anyway. Let's just
off. Well, he knew he was gonna die, and he came anyway.
He was an incredibly boring character anyway. No, actually, I was very irritated with the skeleton attack, because they've gone all the way through the north with no problems, and then, hey, look, there's the goal, and then suddenly here are zombies and skeletons. It was a great fight, in my opinion. The graphics were amazing. The fire throwing was a little campy, but the skeletons themselves, I was like, man, for being HBO, that's a pretty good skeleton. Yeah,
I thought they actually looked really good. I mean, because usually, like, you know, I harken back to things like Army of Darkness, when it was like the most bottom of the barrel, low budget fucking skeleton people you could ever get. Because, you know, you can tell it's a guy in a suit, but I mean, these things are running around. They feel real, you know, and you can still see right through them. It was cool, but yeah, no, I agree. It was, that is pretty goofy, where it's like, hey, we're here. Oh shit, now we're under attack.
Yeah, so, it was a little much.
Whereas they got past the wall without that much trouble at all.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, like, and, you know, Sam's already dealt with a White Walker, which I understand that it happened because he had a baby with him or whatever, but
what?
I don't know. It just seemed like a really odd place to suddenly
get
attacked by
zombies.
It happened
because he's a badass.
Oh, no. Oh, I get it.
And then the old guy inside the cave, I think he's really interesting, but it's just taking so long. They need to land the plane a little bit, I guess. I don't know.
See, for the last season though, it was kind of the opposite, where you finally, or that the one episode where you finally get to see the White Walkers and they got the baby, and you're like, dude, it's too soon.
Well, that's it's different though. The White Walkers are different. Oh. I don't want to know anything about them.
I was relieved that Bran actually had a somewhat of a resolution. Like, to me, he that character had been trying to go somewhere for two seasons
now,
and the fact that he actually arrived somewhere was monumental. You know,
it's almost like George R. R. Martin's play on like Lord of the Rings, where it's just like, you're just going to walk for a long time.
Yeah. You know he's not even walking. He's getting carried.
That's true.
And Rick is going somewhere Hodor's nobody walking. Even fucking cares. You know? Okay, Daenerys. We haven't actually mentioned any of the Daenerys stuff.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it was a little bit surprising. What are the particulars on why Jorah was not allowed with her anymore? Because that was some season one stuff, I think, that I don't know.
Yeah, it was... I mean, he was initially being paid or being charged with spying on her for a pardon is what was going to happen. He, of course, did not...
Under Robert Baratheon? Or
under...
He was supposed to poison her and kill her, actually.
And then he was like, "Screw that mess. This is my Khaleesi, and I'll stay with her forever." And then that
smitten.
That whole thing surfaced. So yeah, at least he's out of the friend zone, I guess.
Yes, and so she found out about this. He is exiled, which means the other council members will become more important to her.
Yeah,
it's like a huge mistake to get rid of him. That was a huge mistake.
Oh, he's not going to be gone.
My question is, what happens to him next? You know.
Yeah.
Well, he'll hover because he's not going to leave her. He has the right to go back to Westeros, but he's not going to. He's going to hover around and skulk around in the shadows.
If she finally gets in trouble, he's going to swoop in and save her and win her.
Yeah.
Back and she could deal with her dragons burning to a crisp some sheep. But once children are being burnt to a crisp, she locks up two of them, and is probably trying to find the third dragon, right?
Yeah.
They're just doing what dragons do.
Yeah. Can't keep a dragon out.
Yes, she should go out there and be the mother of dragons and spank them.
Goodbye, arms. Yeah.
Those dragons need some discipline.
Right on.
Marine, or whatever the fuck. I didn't really care about it too much this season. I was pretty invested in Grey Worm and
the slave girl.
Melisai, is that her name?
Oh yeah, she's hot.
Like that.
Those two together, that seemed awesome. And then she had the whole discussion about what kind of anatomy do Unsullied have after all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, pillar or stones.
She has nice boobs.
I'm hoping that season 5 with Daenerys will be a little bit more interesting.
Well, I'm glad that all this chaos is happening around her. It's about time. She's starting to have to be an interesting character, honestly, in my opinion.
It feels like there's not enough going on. It's like she's just sat still. When she was on the move and she was like taking cities, I was like, yeah. Now she's like, I'm going to stand here and just wait for drama.
This is what she has to do. She has to learn how to rule. She doesn't know how to do that.
I know, but I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, has her overall goal actually changed? Because, I mean, I was still hoping she was going to head for Westeros for the throne, but if she's just going to stay put, then I'm just like, ugh.
Ultimately, she's going to go for the throne, but right now, she has to learn how to rule. That's what Lord Friendzone told her that she has to learn to rule.
Yeah. It might not be as much like narratively exciting to see her not trying to conquer, but it probably is best in terms of strategy to be able to make sure that the kingdom that she has conquered already is actually truly behind her.
You know? I mean, it kind of goes along with the thing like, okay, all the kids know all the houses and all the sigils. And it's great to know that they know that. It's not so great to sit there and listen to them while they're in class. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't want to see you learning it. I just want to see that you know it now, and then let's move on. So
she's developing. This is what this is all about. And we're supposed to see how human she is and how she has to figure things out. And
see, this will play into it if she takes the throne of Westeros earlier than I think she will, where she'll have to put these things into practice. But if it comes up to the end where it makes a run for the throne, and let's say she gets it, and then the show's over, I'm not going to really care about any of this where she's learning how to rule. You know what I mean? Like, if she has to somehow put all these things that she's learning into practice, it'll be fine. But I don't really see that happening.
Well, with so many characters dying, it'll be really interesting to see the final 3 seasons of the television show.
Mm-hmm.
Because, to me, they're going to start, like, accelerating certain storylines that have been on the back burner. So
we know for sure they're only doing 3 more seasons?
Well, that's what the showrunners want to do. HBO would rather do more, so the showrunners and HBO are negotiating right now.
Yeah. Well, they should. They should do at least 4 more. this is insane. There's way too much story to just cram into 3 seasons.
Well, here's a good question for Jill, because to me, I've been hearing from book fans that typically regarded book 3 is the most loved book. And then from what I hear, book 4 and book 5, even though they may be good, aren't as good as it used to be. I mean, do you agree with that?
So it depends on why you read the books and what you want to get out of them. Book three is the one that has all the amazing cliffhangers. And actually, Brock and I have talked about this, and he likes to say it as he thinks the first three books are kind of the first half of the saga of Game of Thrones. And the first two books are largely set up, and then the third book is everybody's fucking dying. And so I think the fifth and sixth books might be a lot of set, or sorry, the fourth and fifth books are a lot of set up, and then six and seven are probably going to be just balls out awesome. So I think they're going to skip a lot of what happens in books four and five, or skip things or condense them, because book four and five, it's getting back into that Lord of the Rings type stuff where people are just walking and wandering and not much happens. And it's well written, and so I'm still invested in the books, but you are kind of like, just do something. Yeah.
Just land the plane. Yeah.
If book three began with Joffrey's murder and then ended with Tywin's murder, it's got to be hard to top that, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's such a great...
The Red Wedding is in book three, too.
Oh, The Red Wedding, too.
Yeah. All those things.
That sounds like a great book. I mean, I still read George R. R. Martin's prose, and I think, oh, I get a little sleepy every time.
Yeah.
I hate to denigrate the guy, but it doesn't, I mean, to me, his prose is not really what I like about reading, yeah. but in terms of the amazing plot that he comes up with, you know, it's great. Okay, well, since we're moving on to the last segment of the show, I want to ask you guys, all, you know, everybody, your favorite scene, your favorite season, your favorite character. Let's look at season four overall. Let's look at the whole series overall. What's your big takeaways in terms of, like, the greatest moments?
I think you had asked about favorite episodes, and we've already kind of talked about this. I think Blackwater Bay and the Attack on the Wall are just the best episodes ever. Those battle scenes are just, they're just awesome.
Those are very, very cool. Very well done. How about you, Jacob?
There's a bunch. I actually really, really, really like Joffrey's death scene. And not just because the guy's a prick, but because I think the whole thing, it's just really, really well done. The whole scene is just kind of amazing. But the Hound and Brianna Tarth, what's her name?
Brianna Tarth, yeah.
Yeah. The two of them fighting, that was a fantastic fight scene. And that's probably...
To me, that was one of my favorite scenes of the entire season, was start to finish, two characters I love to root for, even though the Hound is kind of a terrible person and Brienne is basically a much better, a good person. It was great to see those two characters fight. Like, level of intensity was really fun to watch.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
I really liked how toward the end of it, of course, you know, looking at it through Arya's eyes, she's asking Padre, you know, where is she? And it almost seems like, holy crap, I need to run away from this chick. She's scary.
You know, she's as crazy as he is.
Yeah.
I like, too, though, that this setup before they start fighting is Arya, who wants to be a warrior but is a woman, looking at this other warrior woman and seeing what she can grow up to be.
Yes.
And speaking of women, my other two favorite scenes really are Sansa and Littlefinger. Mm. Like, when Littlefinger has taken Sansa on the boat and is basically begins her education on how to be a bit more nefarious, to me, you know, that pays back spades for Littlefinger, because he's up against a wall and Sansa rescues him the devil that you know better than the devil that you don't.
Right.
But that beginning scene when she's first kidnapped from the Joffrey murder, that's one of my favorite scenes of the season. I also really like Cersei talking to Tywin in the final episode about finally revealing to him, even though he knew in the back of his mind about the incest and everything, to hear his reaction when she actually explicitly tells her. It was a really good scene.
Very cool.
Yeah, for some reason, I always imagined that he gave them the order to do that. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
So one of my favorite scenes this season was one that stuck out because it's not in the books, and it was just such an interesting relationship developing scene. And that's when Jaime goes to visit Tyrion in the cells, and they talk about their cousin who smashed the beetle.
Oh, I love that scene.
I love that. Not in the book. I was extremely impressed with this scene. I'm not really sure what it was supposed to mean, but it was really profound. And I like the, I don't know, that whole scene and the whole rapport between Jaime and Tyrion is something that I love in the show.
They shared a memory of yeah. when they were younger. That was really great.
I'd say probably the scene that sticks out to me the most was when he was finally on the stand and Shay was at the stand talking to Tywin and telling all the horrible things, quote unquote, that Tyrion had done. He finally got to make his final statements, and he was like, you know, I didn't kill the king, but God, I wish I had, and I wish I had enough poison for all of you to drink. And oh my God, I at that point, Peter Dinklage was just shining for me, man. I mean, like, I've always seen him as a fantastic actor, but now he's like throwing out there as hard as he can.
To me, he was so tired of how Westeros or how, you know, everybody that was attending that trial was not giving him the benefit of the doubt that he starts like attacking everybody around him. He's so fed up with it.
He's so mad because he had done all this to save the city, and then everyone's just going to take a crap on him. I mean, it doesn't matter if he saved it or not. He's still a dwarf, and if the person in power says he did it, then he did it.
The irony that he saved all those people, and here they are turning on him.
That's awesome.
Okay, any other favorite scenes, characters, all that to talk about before we exit the show?
Just real quick, that the final shot of this season of Arya on the boat to Braavos sailing away, I thought was a beautiful shot to end the season with.
Yes.
Remind me what Braavos is. Also remind me why the iron coin was so important.
The faceless man, remember the one that he would always refer to himself as the man, and he would take three names and
so he owed her, so she got a chance to redeem.
Yeah, he gave her that coin and said, if you ever need me, bring this to anyone from Braavos and say these words, and then
and Braavos is the place that, what, I'm trying to remember,
the Iron Bank is there. I'm not really sure what else.
Okay,
it's far in the south. I'm pretty sure it's an island, and yeah, it's where the faceless men, so Jack and Hagar was the guy that she met, but it's where the faceless men are trained, and she's not going there just for no reason. She's going there to train, because when he gives her the coin, he
spoilers,
says...
Spoilers!
This isn't a spoiler. It's not a spoiler. This is what he tells her when he gives her the coin. He tells her, you can train to be like me. Here's how you do it.
Yeah.
And so that's what she's
I can completely understand why Arya would take one look at Brienne and be like, no, I can't trust you. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Eddard, he's a smart guy. He trained his daughter well.
Yes.
He trained her to be a fast fighter as opposed to a big armored swinging warrior. So she knows. He knows. Smart guy.
All right. Any other final thoughts?
Yeah. That's where the heart is.
It needs to be next summer already, and
seriously.
Hurry.
What do we have to wait, a year now?
March or April usually.
Oh, that's just horrible.
And like I said, I did not believe until the next day when I read an article that Tywin was actually dead. I was like, okay, two arrows, that's fine. He can deal with that.
Took an arrow to the knee on the shitter.
So appropriate that he's on another throne.
Yeah,
that's so perfect. That's like
instead of the Iron Throne, is the shit.
Well, and you know, he could only be killed by another Lannister. You know, someone could get close to him, and it's fitting. Like, he never would have thought that Tyrion could kill him. He totally underestimated his son all his life, Tyrion's like, I'm gonna be the one to kill you.
All three of his children betrayed him in that episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cersei still hates Tyrion with a passion, but she betrayed him by going over all this details. And then, you know, Jaime helped Tyrion escape and Tyrion murdered him. I just love that no matter what Tywin tried to do, he could not control his children. You know, I'm so interested in what happens to the Lannisters after he's dead, you know?
I think their time has come and gone, but I think it's pretty neat. I think that it's going to be interesting. I want to see what happens between Cersei and Jaime really bad now.
I think as a power vacuum, I think somebody other than the Lannisters, I mean, I don't think Cersei and Jaime can lead like Tywin ever could.
Yeah.
No.
So I think that there's going to be a huge power vacuum and somebody's going to take their place, you know.
I would love to see the Boltons come after the throne. That would be interesting.
Yeah. We didn't really mention Roose Bolton, who really had, I mean, his sigil is a flayed
man.
a flayed. Yeah. That's really hardcore, you know.
I know they're villains and all, but God, they are a lot of fun to watch and pay attention to. And you're really right about Theon, Jill. When you were talking about him, that whole story, it's a big discombobulated mess. It's kind of wild.
I really like the actor that plays Ramsay.
Ramsay.
He's really really good.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. He's creepy.
You know, we talked about vacuums with Joffrey gone. Ramsay is going to be the next, like, I am the guy everyone will hate. I am the psychopath, basically.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, I think it's neat that his son is now a true name. I didn't know they could do that. I mean, I guess I knew they could, but that's interesting that they can officially make you son as opposed to a bastard. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of foreshadow, maybe? Mm-hmm. Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, maybe.
Hey, don't talk like that around Jill. She'll ruin everything.
Oh, hey, I got one other thought, by the way. Remember you mentioned the beetle guy smashing stuff?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's foreshadowing to what the mountain's going to be. I'm telling you. He's going to come back as like Frankenstein.
I never thought about it that way, but that's a good way of looking at it. Because we did have that scene. It's Qyburn is the former maester who's trying to help the mountain. Yeah. And Cersei says something to him. You know, he says,
she's going to get weaker.
Well, she says, can you bring him back? And he's like, yeah, but he won't have a mind. And she's like, but will he be strong? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, do it. So
yeah, she asks him, is he still going to be, what she says?
Will it weaken him?
Will it weaken him? And he says no, but he'll be slower. And she's like, so there you go.
I love the old guy, though, that's like, this is my fucking room.
Yeah.
Pycelle.
Fucking
Pycelle. He's such a cool guy.
You're fired. He's from Indiana Jones. I didn't know that. He was the bad guy in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
Huh. Weird.
All right. Well, thank you, Jacob and Jill, for returning to the show.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
And we will see you next time, next week, for something completely different. And Jesse has a few more things to say about where you can find us. And have a good day.
Hey, guys, just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website, squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.